Just note that this service is being recorded. Our prelude is Next to Me by Emily Sunday, performed by Renee Deschard.
So this was scheduled for Father's Day, but COVID happened, and I didn't really want to sing with a sore throat. So this is dedicated to Jason.
Drinking under tables, rolling dice or staying out till three. You won't ever find him being unfaithful. You will find him, you'll find him next to me. You won't find him trying to chase the devil, money, fame, or power out of greed. You won't ever find him where the rest go. You will find him, you'll find him next to me. Next to me.
Thank you, Renee. That was wonderful. Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Prairie Unitarian Universalist Society. My name is Robin Proud. My pronouns are she, her, hers. I've been a member of Prairie for over 20 years. I'm currently on the program committee. Welcome to this morning, this day, and this opportunity to be together in community, which is a time of joy, comfort, and sometimes challenges. This Unitarian Universalist congregation is a place where we come to learn more about being human. We're not here because we've figured out life's questions or because we think we've got it right. We come here to learn more about being in relationship together, how to listen, how to forgive, how to be vulnerable, and how to create trust and compassion in one another. Our chalice lighting today is by Jennifer McLaughlin, and it's going to be read by Patty, who is accompanied by Jacob and maybe Mary, if she's in here. Oh, there you are.
Good morning. As the first hint of green begins to peek through the barren ground, as the little sprig grows into the healthy stem, as that stem grows into a stalk and forms a bud, as the bud slowly opens with each new day to form a yellow daffodil, let us be like the first hint of green renewed by the warmth of the sun's rays and ready to emerge with a new energy, ready to face the day. We light this chalice to bring a glimmer of that warmth into this space. Jennifer McLaughlin.
Thank you. Our opening music is number 66 in the Gray Hymnal, When the Summer Sun is Shining, accompanied by Amber. Please stand as you're able. Now, our story for all ages today is a video. We'll see how the screen works with the flowers here. Children and adults are welcome to come up to get a better view. This is the story of the Flower Communion, which is celebrating its 100th anniversary this year.
This over a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
So it's not.
Okay.
100 years ago, the Unitarian minister Norbert Čopek offered his Czechoslovakian congregation a ritual to respond to their questions about how to be a community that welcomed rather than suppressed diversity. Czechoslovakia was a country formed in the aftermath of war. Struggling just 5 years after the end of that war with questions of belonging and identity, trust and anxiety, Čopek's ritual took the traditional bread and wine communion that his community was too heretical for and too resistant to these usual symbols and played with this ritual. He turned instead to the beauty of nature all around them and invited each of his congregants to find a flower and bring it to the church one Sunday. That each person would find the flower that was beautiful to them was a symbol of their affirmation that each of us has a piece of the truth, our unique sense of what beauty means. On their way into the church, his congregation was in turn invited, each of them, to place that flower in a vase, which symbolized their free choice to enter into community alongside all the other people that saw beauty in their own way, symbolized by their flowers placed there as well. A free church where people freely choose to walk together across their differences. Once everyone had gathered, they'd bring the vase forward. Then the minister, Čopek, he would bless it. And then he'd invite everyone to choose a flower to take home with them, but just not the one that they came with. Again, this free choice affirmed each person's choice to be blessed by another and to receive with an open heart their different understandings of beauty and to feel connected rather than divided by this difference. In this moment where so many forces seek to divide people, to play on our fears of differences and our anxieties of the other, here we remember that we freely choose to walk together and to be blessed by the differences between us and to see these differences as beauty.
Do we have the lights back? All right. So now, if any of the children or people who are volunteering in the religious exploration today would like to take a flower, you're welcome to do so. So the idea is that people brought flowers and you take home the a different one than you brought. And, oh, wonderful. Rick has a prop that we're going to need later. I was not sure where it was, so we'll get to that. You can, yes, you can display it in a bit. Yes, perfect.
All right, I have one going up. No, not the whole vase. I know, it's tempting. Okay, just choose one flower out of these. Then you're going to sit back down. Okay, can you choose one flower? You can come up, too. Just choose one flower. And if any of you would like to talk about your flower, you can, or why you chose it. Why did you choose it?
Because I did.
She said she chose it because she did, so.
Okay, that's a good reason.
That's a reason. Why did you choose that one?
It looks like a firework, basically.
Looks like a firework. Ooh. Oh, nice. All right, who else is going to choose one? Okay. Do you want to say why you chose that one?
I think it's really pretty.
She thinks it's pretty. Why did you choose this one?
It's my favorite color.
Favorite color? All right, anyone else need to get one? Want to talk about a couple more? Ooh, I think people are... Why did you choose that one?
Because it looks like... It's like there's still buds, but it's still pretty.
There's still buds that haven't bloomed yet, but still pretty. That's the reasoning for that. It's a tricky choice, I know. There's a lot of really cool ones up here. And then after this, we'll do the singing of the children out. Although I think we might have already lost a couple of them. Isn't
okay. It? All right. Then if everybody has had a chance.
There's a little guy.
And if there are any adults working with the kids who wanted to take a
flower,
now
you're
welcome.
There was a little insect on that one, so you chose it.
Oh.
Well, there is a little one. Yeah. Yep. Do you want to say why you chose yours?
It is pretty.
Oh yes, and if you want to.
All right, so
annoying.
we can sing the children out. The lyrics are in the order of service. Now, we'll listen to a guided meditation titled Embrace Summertime by Tris Thorpe.
All right, so this is not a silent meditation, it's a guided meditation. So I'm going to be reading to you, and then you can follow along as I go through. So find a comfortable seat on your chair, or if you're standing, settle into your body by connecting with your breath. Slowly inhaling through your nose. Slowly exhaling through your mouth. Notice how your body and mind begin to soften and relax. Visualize yourself someplace in nature during summer. You might be walking along a riverbank, sitting in the shade beneath your favorite tree, or standing in the grass. Allow the light and warmth of the sun to permeate you. Maybe you feel a light breeze across your face and the sound of trickling water or birds chirping from the trees in the distance. You might pick up the scent of flowers coming from your garden. Breathe in the balmy warmth of the summer air and settle more deeply into a relaxed state. Begin now to open your heart and mind to what is possible this summer. Imagine the light of the sun illuminating the corners in your mind where you haven't ventured in a while. Invite yourself to dream of what lights you up or makes you come alive. What ignites your creativity? What environment do you thrive in most? And what do you love doing? What would you like to create or transform this summer? Or is there something wildly spontaneous that you'd like to try? Bring it all together in a picture or a movie clip and watch yourself embracing the fun of summer. Now ask yourself, what do you need to do to make it all a reality? What action do you need to take that is different from how you are living now? Now as you embrace summer and feel into the excitement of what you can create for yourself, make a commitment to doing one new thing, whether that's a day, a week, or a month. What lights you up and makes you happy?
When you feel ready, take a few slow, deep breaths and slowly open your eyes. That's the end of the guided meditation. Thank you.
Thank you. Now I'd like to read to you the short story of Norbert Chapek's flower ceremony by Teresa Schwartz and David Schwartz. His mother was a devout Catholic, his father agnostic. He became an acolyte at age 10 in 1890 at St. Martin's Catholic Church. In the years that followed, he became disillusioned. His priest was a cynic. At 18, he apprenticed to his uncle, a successful tailor in Vienna. There, Norbert discovered the Baptists and became a minister. He founded almost a dozen churches from Ukraine to Budapest. Yet slowly, his faith became more and more liberal. He left Bohemia under government threat and accepted a call to serve a Baptist church in New York City until one day in 1919. That day, he wrote in his diary, "I cannot be a Baptist anymore, even in compromise. The fire of new desires, new worlds, is burning in me." World War I ended. His home country, now independent, he and his wife Maya returned home to Czechoslovakia. His Unitarian Church was the Prague Liberal Religious Fellowship. In just 20 years, his church had 3,200 members. The traditional Christian communion service of bread and wine wouldn't meet the needs of his congregation because his church, like ours, had people who believed different things. Chapek turned to the beauty of the countryside, the beauty of flowers. In 1923, he developed the flower ceremony. He asked his congregants to bring a flower to church from their gardens, the field, or the roadside. He invited each person to place their flower in a vase. There was the church community, no less unique for being united. Following the service, each person could take a flower from the vase, a different one than they had brought. Chapek was a visionary minister with a church ahead of its time, a bold church, a church thinking beyond its doors, beyond what it thought possible. It was a church that was willing to take risks, to make tough decisions, to bear disappointment, and to build a new way. First by building a church, and that church could build up the world. That is our church. That was Chapek's church. For this, the Gestapo arrested him in 1942. The Nazis accused Chapek of listening to foreign broadcasts and sent him to the Dachau concentration camp. Even in starvation and torture, he held a flower ceremony with his fellow prisoners, finding whatever flowers they could among the weeds of the camp. They testified to a beauty larger than themselves and a love that would outlive them. The Nazis killed Norbert Chapek, but his spirit, courage, and commitment live on today. Those qualities have passed now to us to make them real. His wife, Maya, brought the flower ceremony to the Unitarian Church in Cambridge, Massachusetts in 1940. What we are going to do a bit later is not a historical reenactment of something that is over and done, but an affirmation of our continuity with the generations of struggle for ever-widening liberty. This flower ceremony, lovely though it is, isn't a diversion from ugly reality, but a gentle fierceness which proclaims that in the midst of sinister days, there is always the light of beauty. We are here not to recall something that happened, but to remember something that is happening. To remember, to put back together again, and in that remembering, may we put ourselves back together again. Each as a part of the body of this community, out of many, one. Today we celebrate this ritual of solemnity and joy. And as Chapek asked his people to bring a flower and celebrate beauty, so have we. Now, I have something to say about Prairie's special connection to Norbert Chapek. For this, I'm indebted to the people who put together the history book, Ruth Calden, Rosemary Dorney, Mary Mullen, and Barbara Park. because when Renee asked about this, and if I had a script from what I read a couple of years ago, I said, I don't think so. I think I took it right from here. And the person we're really indebted to is Reverend Ralph Tiksinski, who wrote up an entire article in here. If I had known you were coming, Ralph, I would have asked you to get up and read this. I'll just take some excerpts. We were having this flower ceremony, perhaps 2008, when a couple visited, and when it was time to introduce the guests, he introduced themselves as Lee and Sandra Haspel, and Lee Haspel told us that he was the grandson of Norbert Chopik. They were living here in the area, and his father, Carl, had also been a minister. And the following year, in 2009, we received an amazing gift. And let's see. Oh, Rick's in the back here. If someone wants to show this. And I'll explain what this is. This is a hymnal containing over 90 hymns written and composed by Norbert Chopik. He was a hymn writer as well as a minister. And this was given to us by his grandson. We also have a letter that says, on this day of the flower celebration, which he then wrote in Czech, I believe, I wish to dedicate my grandfather's hymnal, both music and text written by him, to the Madison, Wisconsin Prairie Unitarian Universalist Society, June 14th, 2009. Lee Haspel is no longer with us, but this is an amazing legacy for us to have. And Ralph had written up a little bit more. You can keep it. Okay, yeah, so people can take a look. So Lee received this from his father, Reverend Carl Haspel, who served as the assistant minister of the Prague Unitarian Church when the congregation under Norbert Chopik's leadership grew to over 4,000 members. And Ralph wrote, I believe that our copy of the Prague Unitarian Church hymnal can serve as a visual memento for the courage and sacrifices made to uphold liberal religious values of tolerance and freedom. And yes, as we know, he was executed. But his wife, Maya, came to the United States to lecture and raise funds for a joint Unitarian Friends program to assist endangered refugees and internees. The American Unitarian Association offered positions in the United States to Norbert Chopik, his daughter, Bodana, and her husband, Carl Haspel. So Carl attended seminary at Berkeley, California, and was serving as assistant minister for the Prague congregation. But they declined these offers, feeling it was their duty to remain with their congregation in Prague through the war. Their services continued during the occupation under constant Gestapo surveillance. However, Norbert and Carl became more subtle and clever in using code language in their sermons and articles. When news of Norbert's death reached the United States, the American Unitarian Association president at the time wrote, another name is added to the list of heroic Unitarian martyrs by whose death our freedom has been bought. Ours is now the responsibility to see to it that we stand fast in the liberty so gloriously won. For Prairie Unitarian Universalist Society to have an authentic copy of Chopik's hymnal can serve as a lasting reminder of one who was martyred and offers us a tangible sense of our free religious identity. And Norbert Chopik's presence is visible in two places at Prairie. The frame display, which you can look at out in the foyer, contains his hymnal, a note from his grandson, and the picture of Lee presenting the hymnal to our minister at the time, Reverend Ralph Tiksinski. But he's also present in our blue hymnal, Singing the Living Tradition, contains three of his songs translated into English, plus two readings. Mother Spirit, Father Spirit, and Color and Fragrance are completely his work, both words and music. View the Starry Realm has words by him set to music by his daughter. And there are readings, The Flower Communion Prayer and Consecration of the Flowers. So we have a very close connection to this historic figure. So we're going to do the offertory reading and then the flower ceremony. We're sharing our offering this quarter with Heart Room, a collaboration between families that have been homeless, Orchard Ridge UCC, and the Road Home. The money we contribute will be used for rental assistance for the families who are working to achieve stability with the help of many partners. And Heart Room gave a presentation at Prairie in March. Our offertory is To a Wild Rose by McDowell, performed by Amber. Because we do have some extra time, I wonder whether Ralph or anyone else who got to know the Haspels wanted to say anything about the our connection with them. Did you have any further comments, Ralph?
No?
Okay. All right. I know some of our folks got to know them personally. Yes, come up, Mary.
Well, I remember Lee very well, the grandson who gave us that hymnal. I think it was in a circle dinner with him once. But I believe he spoke many languages himself. I believe he had been a businessman and used those languages. And I know also that he donated many of his war uniforms and like boots and things like that to the Wisconsin Veterans Museum up on the square. And he was a very gentlemanly person, very gentlemanly. And he really remembered his grandfather and really wanted us, because he was a member of Prairie, to benefit from that.
Yes.
I'm Mary France, she, her. When we first joined the church, probably 15 years ago, I don't know, they were members, he and his wife, and we were part of a circle dinner group. And I remember on more than one occasion going to their home in an apartment in Fitchburg, I believe, and having a lovely meal. It might even have been, since we lived in Monroe at the time, it might even have been one of those occasions when he said, can we have a bed to sleep on so we can go to church in the next morning? And they probably said yes. But we were kind of parasites that way on Saturday nights.
No, welcome guests. So, yes, and Lee did know his grandfather before the war, so he had experienced that huge church in Prague and what that meant. Thank you. So we have a reading. Michelle Clark is going to read the Flower Communion Prayer by Norbert Chapek. And Michelle is also the artist responsible for the new display, which you may want to check out.
I'm thrilled to be part of the flower ceremony. My mother was an avid rose grower, and I'm wearing a rose necklace today. And so roses and flowers always remind me of her. Y'all may join me if you want. Our hope in this community comes from the gifts we each freely give one another. The gifts of time, talent, treasure, encouragement, and hope. By coming forward to select a flower different from those you brought, you will be affirming that the gifts that we bring to this place are unique, valued, and beautiful. May you know that it returns to you in unexpected gifts and moments of generosity. And may you know that no challenge is so great as to make beauty or love impossible.
Thank you. So now we're going to come forward one row at a time. Okay. All right, Renee will direct you. And while we're selecting flowers, Amber will be playing music titled A Violet by Bruns.
Some more fake. It's fine. I think you have to take the whole thing.
Okay.
feel free.
Everybody's
never mind. Like, people then, if people want to talk about flowers, we'll do it.
Oh, okay.
At the end.
Has everyone had a chance? I love how Andrea always looks like she's ready for the flower ceremony. Oh, yes. All right, well, they'll be here. And if anybody wants to say something about them, like the children did, we can do that during the joys and concerns. You might have a reason why you chose the flower. We might be done early anyway. That's fine. Our closing music is number 1067 in the teal hymnal, Mother Earth, Beloved Garden. But this is a new song for most of us. So Amber will play it once all the way through, and then we'll sing it. And we're going to sing verses 1, 2, and 5. So Amber can play it for us once. A few announcements. There's a visitor orientation today after the service. For those interested in learning more about Prairie, please meet in the foyer by the welcoming table. The PUPS group, which is our parents group, is also meeting today after the service for lunch and fellowship. And a reminder that 2 weeks from today, on July 23rd, we have our joint service with the Free Congregation of Sauk County, and they are hosting us, so the service is in Sauk City. From the west side, it only takes maybe 30 minutes to get there. If you don't know anything about the group in Sauk County, come next week, because we will have a presentation about the free thinkers who started that group. And did we have any other announcements? Of course, there are announcements in the order of service and the news of the week email. At this time, we're going to stop the recording. As a caring community, we now take time to briefly share special joys, sorrows, or personal concerns with our prairie friends, and we invite any guests or visitors to introduce themselves during this time. There's a visitor form in the back pocket of most of the chairs, which you may fill out and return to the welcome table.